You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. The planet's health outlook may not be so good in the next decade and the years to come, according to many climate studies. There are concerns about flooding and drought, higher temperatures, and more damaging storms, to name just a few of the risks.
Our next guest asked the question, if you're an environmentally conscious person who's worried about the future of the planet, how might you think about the future of your own children who'll be living on it? Should you even have kids in this context? Madeline Ostrander joins us now. She's a contributor to The Nation and a contributing editor at Yes Magazine. She recently wrote the article, How Do You Decide to Have a Baby When Climate Change is Remaking Life on Earth? Madeline, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us what you were going through, what you were thinking when you decided to tackle this issue in this piece.
Well, it was a conversation that I felt like people were having in very quiet, almost whispered ways about how climate change might affect not just our own futures, but the future of any kids we might choose to have. And people would murmur things to me kind of quietly, like, when I read about all this, these predictions and the science about climate change, I wonder, should I even have kids? And then they would make a decision one way or the other, but I would never hear back from them about, you know, why they had decided to have a baby or how they felt about what it means to be a parent at a time like this. And I felt like that was an important conversation and a difficult conversation, but one that people needed to have, because I think it makes it clear what the stakes are when we're talking about climate change.
I think this sort of thing has come up before the era of climate change. People have thought, oh, with the risk of, I don't know, nuclear war during the Cold War or some other bad things going on Earth, people might think, should I bring a kid into this world? Is there something you think that's different about climate change, about global warming in particular, that makes this such a urgent conversation for people?
I think there are those parallels. I do think this is a somewhat different conversation in the sense that, first of all, climate change is already actively happening right now. So the threat of nuclear warfare was a looming threat, and it was a threat of something that could happen. And, of course, warfare could always happen. I mean, the world has many conflicts going on. But climate change is something, it's this trend that is happening now and is getting worse. And as a society, scientists agree that we're not doing enough to respond rapidly enough to it. So the future looks increasingly more difficult. And I think that makes the threat much more potent and difficult to wrestle with.
And you write about the environment. You write about the impacts of global warming. And so presumably do people in your circles. Do you think you are particularly attuned to this? This is a particular worry for you because of that?
I think that I'm part of a segment of people for whom this is a particular worry. If you look at some studies done by the Yale Project on Climate Communication, they talk about how there are different percentages of the American public in terms of their views on climate change. And there's a substantial segment of the American public called the alarmed. That's how they've decided to categorize them. And those are people who both understand the science, see that climate change is happening, that it's real, but also see it as a real potent threat and understand the risks of it. And I guess I would say that because I am an environmental journalist and I write about these issues and I have regular conversations with climate scientists, I am part of that group. But it's certainly not a small or insubstantial group of people, I don't think.
It seems like there's a two-pronged concern here. One is, do I want to introduce a kid to this world where bad things are happening and worse things might happen? And we can get into that more. But part of it is the environmental impact of having children, especially in the United States, in and of itself. Can you talk a little bit about that concern, like the idea that we might be contributing to the problem simply by having children?
Yeah, that's a question that I've heard other people, I've heard environmentalists struggle with it. I've heard many kinds of people think about that question. It's a question that's been around since the 70s when Zero Population Growth, the organization, was founded and when Paul Ehrlich wrote The Population Bomb. I think that what I finally settled upon in my own thinking about this was that I don't think you can filter the entire problem of climate change through the choices of individual women and families, and that these are really deeply personal choices. I called up and spoke with the head of Population Connection, which is the new name of the organization formerly called Zero Population Growth, and that was their position as well, that these are really personal and private decisions, and that the question about population growth is something that can get handled through things like better access to contraception and healthcare for women. and that's how they're approaching that question. I think, you know, there are people, other people who think about the sort of environmental cost of having a baby, and that's a big factor for them. I guess for me, it's more potent to think about what kind of future any children born now will have, and how am I a part of making that future better and more sustainable.
We're talking to Madeline Ostrander. She wrote a piece in The Nation magazine titled, "How Do You Decide to Have a Baby When Climate Change is Remaking Life on Earth?" And Madeline, you mentioned earlier you knew a lot of people who were murmuring this conversation. You also write about an organization that's getting people together to talk about these issues. Can you tell us some about that?
Yeah, I met with the founders of this organization, and I attended a couple of their events as part of writing the story. It's a brand new organization founded a few months ago called Conceivable Future, and it's founded by a woman named Megan Coleman and another woman named Josephine Ferrarelli, and they have a website. They've been hosting small gatherings around the country in places like Los Angeles and Chicago and Providence, Rhode Island, and here in Seattle, Washington, where people get together, and a lot of the group will be people of childbearing age, but sometimes, you know, it'll be a pretty diverse group in terms of ages and concerns and interests. And they'll talk about this very question of what's happening in terms of climate change and how does that affect our decisions about family and about, to some, you know, some people show up who have children and they talk about how does this affect their parenting. And it's an attempt to open up this conversation that's been quite difficult to have otherwise because it's, you know, it's awkward. I mean, parenting and childbearing, those are really personal decisions, and it's sort of awkward to bring them up with someone and then also bring up this big global scary question about global warming.
I wanted to ask, yeah, this is, as you say, probably the most deeply personal sort of decision a person can make, whether or not to have kids, and of course how to then raise kids, and then this global issue of climate change together. Are these conversations difficult in this setting?
They're not difficult in that particular setting. The couple of events that I went to, I felt like people were very respectful. People, you know, maybe they were a little bit cautious about sharing their feelings, but once the conversation got started, I think it's one of those things like anytime you have a conversation that's a bit taboo or a subject where people feel like they have strong feelings about it, but they're uncomfortable talking about those feelings, and you open that conversation up, it's like, you know, opening a floodgate or something. I mean, people welcome the opportunity to have that conversation, I think, which was part of what I was trying to do. Also in the essay that I wrote was to give people permission to have this discussion.
You write that the decision to have a child is really centered around hope and love. And on the other hand, this question of climate change is all in a lot of ways about fear of the future. How do the people you talk to try to navigate between those two extremes?
It's difficult. The event that I went to in Seattle, for instance, there were people who were really uncertain about whether they should have children for those reasons because they were afraid of what the future looked like. There was someone who was pregnant and who had a child, and she said that she and her husband had talked very deliberately with their children about, or were planning to talk to them about what the future might look like and thinking actively about how do you prepare people for a different kind of world. And those are hard things to think about as well, because although we have many predictions for what climate change might look like, of course, what the future looks like depends a lot on global emissions and what we do as a society to deal with the problem. And so it's difficult to know exactly what shape that will take. But that is how I think some people are thinking about it. How do I prepare my kids for this kind of future?
Did you see the prospect of parenting maybe motivating people to take action, motivating some sort of environmental activism on their part?
Yeah, I think I do see and know people for whom parenting becomes a very powerful and potent way to engage in the world and think about their impacts on the planet and to think more tangibly about the decisions we're making now and how those affect the future.
We're talking to Madeline Ostrander. She's a contributor to The Nation magazine and Yes magazine. She recently wrote the article, "How Do You Decide to Have a Baby When Climate Change is Remaking Life on Earth?"
And we want to hear what you have to say. You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Have you ever considered not having children because of the dangers posed by climate change? Does the state of the planet make you consider the future of your loved ones? Call us at 800-642-1234.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're picking up our conversation with Madeline Ostrander. She's a contributor to The Nation and a contributing editor at Yes Magazine. She recently wrote the article, How Do You Decide to Have a Baby When Climate Change is Remaking Life on Earth?
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this something you've thought about yourself, maybe talked about with your spouse, your partner, with your friends? Has the state of the planet, the environment, influenced the way you and your family thought about having kids? What decision did you ultimately make, or are you still deciding? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Madeline, you wrote this in part because you had gone through this thought process, this decision yourself. Can you talk us through your own story?
Over the years, as I said, people had this sort of conversation in passing with me, and it made it very difficult in a lot of ways. I once had lunch with a literary agent, and I was talking to her about my writing on climate change, and she said, "Does it make you not want to have kids?" And it was such a strange, in a way, thing to come out of the conversation, and yet it's a thought that I think logically pops up for people when they think about how uncertain the future is. I would have friends whisper this to me, and then, you know, the conversation was so awkward that it wouldn't continue. And then as I was wrestling with my own decisions about it, I think, you know, it's a normal human desire to want to have a family. And I felt that desire growing in my emotions. And I felt like I wanted to participate in that process, and you know, in I think it's a thing that expands our humanity, and I think there are a lot of uncertainties in the world, but I had to come to my own decisions about it. So that's what I talked about in the piece.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. Pete is on the line in Eau Claire. Pete, hi.
Hey, My kids are growing already. I'm 57, so obviously the question has been answered for me. But I think, and there was something back in around 1050 called the little climatic optimum, where the planet warmed up, ice caps melted, coastal regions of Europe flooded, the Vikings were doing fine in Newfoundland and Iceland and Greenland. They kept on having kids, and here we are today. I think, you know, don't overthink it too much, but I think it's okay to probably have kids and keep the species moving forward.
Pete, thanks for the call. So Pete's saying we've been through climate variations, significant climate changes in the past. For that matter, we've been through great plagues and things like that. People kept having kids, and here Pete says we are. Madeline, what do you think?
Well, I do think this is different. The science says that what we're heading for in terms of the climatic conditions are unprecedented in human history and experience. So I think this is a pretty different kind of scenario we're talking about. Last week, many people probably saw that James Hansen had a provocative paper out with some other colleagues about the possibility that we could see very extreme climate change happening in the period of a few decades. And there was some controversy about that paper. Scientists had some disagreement about it. It talked about the potential for big changes in the coastal flooding, wiping out coastal cities within a much shorter period of time than we had previously imagined. And I think for me, while there's always going to be some uncertainty in how that science plays out and how climate change actually gets expressed on the planet, I think, you know, the basic message is we're going to have to be dealing with some very difficult things that are unprecedented in most of our experiences, and that is scary, and I think it should give all of us pause. And I don't think it should make us hopeless, but I think it raises the stakes when you think about it that way. It makes you understand why we need to take this issue seriously and do something about it now in the present.
Pete, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Jill on the line in Madison. Jill, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I've been listening in, and thank you very much. This has been a topic that I've been kind of agonizing over for about 10 years. I'm an environmental science major, and I know, you know, the facts. And to imagine what a kid would have to live through, you know, I'm about 35, and thinking about what the world may be like in 2050 or later for them is kind of, you know, worrisome. But in the end, I came to realize that all life is precious and that any child would relish any amount of time that they were given, no matter what happened. So that's where I'm at now, and I go a little bit back and forth, but I think that it would be, you know, I would regret it if I didn't.
Jill, thanks for the call. And Madeline, is that something that you see people arriving at after they wrestle with this for months or, in Jill's case, years?
People arrive at all kinds of different conclusions. Some people decide that they want to devote their lives to people who are very, you know, very serious about these issues about climate change, about the environment. Sometimes they decide that they would rather take their energy and devote it to solving those problems and crises rather than siphoning off some of that energy into the process of raising the family. Other people feel like they want to live in hope, and just as your caller just said, that they want to, you know, that's how they want to live their lives, and so that's the decision that they arrive at. So I think there's a range of ways to respond to this question.
Jill, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Madeline Ostrander about her piece in The Nation titled, How Do You Decide to Have a Baby When Climate Change is Remaking Life on Earth? Along the lines of what you're just saying, Madeline, Jerry on Facebook writes, my husband and I decided back in 1990 not to have kids because of the environmental impact, along with my passion for teaching. So, Jerry, think about the environmental impact and what she can do with her energy, I think, in some ways, without kids. So that's another of the variety of responses you were talking about. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's close to what I've heard from a lot of people. There are other people who have talked about their decision to adopt or to otherwise be involved in kind of, I don't know if alternative parenting is the right word, but I know people who are take a lot of responsibility, say, for a godchild, or they're involved in raising parents in some other kind of, sorry, raising children in some other kind of role. And some of those people have arrived at those decisions because they're concerned about the impact of having their own child. So sometimes people go that direction as well.
Time for another brief call, I think, from Deborah in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
I think there's way too many people on this planet, and the planet is our source of life. And if people really, really do cherish life, they need to take a look at a good hard look at what's going on. Because we're at the top of the food chain, and that's a big responsibility. And I think what we're really doing is ruining the planet.
Deborah, thanks for the call. So that's going back to that argument from the 70s you mentioned, Madeline. There's just too many of us to be good for the environment. And that's have you seen that as part of the thought process in, you know, the 2010s and not so much the 1970s, that we just have too many people and that's one reason not to make more of them?
I do hear people with that concern. I will be honest and say that I seem to hear it from, for instance, in these conceivable future gatherings that I attended, I heard it less from younger people, so say from millennials, than hearing it from the older generation who grew up with these concerns in the 70s or who, you know, came of age while they were being talked about. But it is a concern people have out there that there are too many children, and people arrive at different conclusions based on that. Some people have fewer children than they might otherwise have. Some people feel like they don't want to have any children. You know, Bill McKibben wrote the book Maybe One a number of years ago, where he talked about how maybe we have small families. So there's different ways to think about it, and it's a very personal decision, as I said before.
We'll leave it there. Madeline, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Madeline Ostrander. She's a contributor to The Nation magazine and a contributing editor at Yes magazine. In The Nation, she recently wrote the piece, How Do You Decide to Have a Baby When Climate Change is Remaking Life on Earth? We have a link, by the way, to that piece at the Central Time Facebook page, and still time for you to share your thoughts over there.